Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
For the best Championship, League One and League Two coverage, Achtung Millwall recommends the Football League paper. It's got it all covered. For the complete EFL picture, get the Football League paper, £1.50 every Sunday, or visit theleaguepaper.com for a variety of digital subscriptions. The Football League paper. Be close to the passion.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Oh, just a nice sip of water. You can include that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world famous Achtung Millwall. It is season eve. That's right, season eve. The new EFL Championship season is upon us, and the good team here down at Achtung Millwall are looking forward to another roller coaster ride with the Lions. Join me, of course, the daddy himself, the podfather, Mr. Nick Cott.
Greetings, dear listeners, on season's eve, the 2021 season.
Well,
it's upon
Eve,
us.
It's Eve, Eve, mate.
Eve.
Let's get it right.
Nearly.
It's Eve, you know. I mean, are you all right, pal? You all right? Are you losing it a bit? Are you
well, I'm rapidly approaching 60, so I think it was the film, Logan's Run, that's when you're done for at the age of 60. they disintegrate you, so maybe that's what it is.
Need a hard reset, mate. Need a hard reset. And another one of our intrepid journos, writer extraordinaire, Ryan Loftus, joins us as well. Ryan, how you doing, pal? You've been covering a lot of the Lionesses lately.
Yeah, very well, I am. Yeah, the Lionesses have been going well. Their season kicks off this weekend too. It's been, an interesting pre-season, a lot of hard games, but, new manager, a lot of new players. It's looking very, very promising for them to, you know, kick off this year and rise through the league. So that has been keeping me busy for the last few weeks.
The shows you've been doing have been fantastic, Ryan.
Cheers.
Really good. Really, anyone that's not tuned in, well worth a listen. I think they've been very insightful. Great content, in my opinion.
Yeah, jump on it via your regular podcast provider, Spotify, iTunes. We are everywhere. That is where we are. Where we're not going to be is the Den on Saturday. Of course, Millwall taking on Stoke behind closed doors still. And of course, the government's new laws and new rules have kind of fucked it all up. I actually went to Cambridge on Tuesday for the test event, one of the pilot events. They played Fulham under 21s in the Checker Lisa Van Dot Paint Trophy. And it was good. It was very, very well organised, very, very well run. It was very strange, though, to be back, you know, with fans. It was actually amazing just to hear the roar of a crowd when the teams came out. Even, you know, at the end of a warm-up when, sort of, you know, they're doing those last-minute shooting drills and they're going applaud and end. And it was absolutely fantastic to hear. They had 862 and it sounded like 8,620. The fans made a real racket and really got behind their teams. I was actually supposed to be at Cambridge United on Saturday. They're taking on Carlisle United, and that was supposed to be a designated EFL event again. 2,500 in at the Abbey Stadium, but it's being cancelled. Chaps, when are we going to see the Den again?
Wow, there's a question, Aaron. I'm not sure there's anyone's in a position to answer that. I mean, obviously, the original idea was that it was going to be after October the 1st. I think the first home game was on the 20th of October versus Luton, Ryan, I think. Was that a midweek game against Luton, I believe? And that was going to be with the reduced 6,000, just under 6,000 capacity for the Den, and the usual precautions, as you or what become the usual precautions as you go into any venue. But I don't know. I mean, the government rules are so confused and they are so hard to fathom, the places you are allowed to go, the places you're not allowed to go. And I'm making no particular political point here, but they are just genuinely confusing. I don't know, you know, groups of six can sit in a pub together, I guess, can they? I don't know. The whole thing seems very, very ill thought through. But professional sport, I think, and you know, goes beyond football, goes into all professional sport, is looking down the barrel. I can't see us being allowed in any short, you know, short term. Everything I've read seems to be preparing the public for a winter of restrictions of this kind. Whatever your views on that, the rights and wrongs of that are, it's going to hit sport generally. It's going to hit football hard, and I can't see how it can function below the top televised Premier League and then to an extent the Championship. I can't see how Leagues 1 and 2 can adequately function on next to nothing as they have been. I don't know how you see it, Ryan.
Yeah, I completely agree, Nick. I think as much as a blow as it is for the fans who obviously want to get back to the stadium, and it is such an important thing, you know, it is a fluid change in situation where, you know, spikes happen, places close down. You know, Bolton went into a bit of a lockdown the last few days. So it is up in the air. It is hard to give that fixed date, like you were saying. But the real concern is going into the season now blind, especially the clubs in League One and League Two. There'll be plenty in the Championship as well. You look at Wickham, you know, Millwall yeah. would even be affected by it if it goes on too long. But not having really any inkling when fans are going to be allowed back is really going to, you know, cause a lot of teams to feel the pinch quite quickly.
Indeed, indeed. Interesting times, strange times. Still ahead. We thought we were out of it, but it seems like we're really not. A few players we're going to be talking about. Lee Gregory returns to the Den, as does Alex Aldridge, although I'm sure the cameras won't be on him. Gregory's failed to sort of light things up at Stoke City. I mean, he's been playing in a poor team that's shifted from a back four to a back three, and now back to a back four, and then now they're settled as a back three, got six goals for Stoke last season, looked pretty ineffective in a lot of his games. Is he missed in this Millwall lineup?
Not for me. I think his work rate was always commendable. I think, and realistically looking back over the last season that he had with us, his work rate, I think, became a bit of a legend rather than anything based on facts. I think he kind of dropped it a bit. He, as much as he's a fan favourite, and I think his story of coming up from non-league, having a really difficult season, then really lighting it up in League One, you know, he'll be remembered and loved for the 20-goal season, his partnership with Steve Morrison. But as a finisher, I mean, he's not improved at Stoke in terms of his finishing. We've all seen last season plenty of howlers, plenty of shockers missing. And, you know, they've brought in Stephen Fletcher this year. They've still got Sam Vokes on the book. I think they've got five strikers in the squad. He's clearly not necessarily impressing. Is it O'Neill who's up there now? So, and he's, you know, he's over 30. He's pushing on. I could imagine this is probably the decline of Lee Gregory, which is a shame. But, you know, he joined the league late, so he didn't have long in him.
Yeah, I mean, decline comes to us all, comes to the footballer earlier than other people in life. But it comes whether you like it or not. Old Father Time is the ultimate winner. And I agree with Ryan. I mean, I did a call earlier on with a chap from Radio Stoke doing like a preview thing, and he asked me what difference has Gary Rowett made to Millwall as against obviously the old regime of Neil Harris. And it made me think for a moment, what is the difference? And I think, and I'm interested to hear what you two think, I think Gary Rowett has raised our sights as what kind of club, what kind of football we can be. Because I think under Neil Harris, and this is probably represented by poor old Lee Gregory in a sense, under Neil Harris, we always had a slight sense that we're outperforming a League One, an outperforming League One club, a squad that was playing outside of its skin slightly and surviving against all odds in the Championship. And I mean, my view to the guy from Stoke Radio was that we are now looking upwards. We actually see ourselves as being a club that can think quite, you know, quite justifiably as being in the top 10, top six even. I've never known a season, can't think of a season that following Millwall where we've not approached it with an ever such a slight sense of survival being a really good outcome for us. So I think he's actually raised our sights, Rauer. And I think to answer your question about Lee Gregory, I think our sights have probably moved on from the players like Lee Gregory, who are willing workhorses, but they do miss a lot of chances. You know, the quality of our squad now is, I don't know that he would find a place within it. I don't think he'd hold down a spot in this side. I mean,
even with depth, Nick, I mean, I look at that Millwall squad, and obviously, you know, you look at some of the squads in the Championship. Stoke have a lot of players, Watford have a lot of players. A lot of squads are building these sort of like massive super squads. Millwall have a very, very small squad. If you look at the actual pool of first team players, do you think that he wouldn't make it even for just depth, pure depth?
Maybe, but if it's depth we're going for, and I mean, you have to take these transfer websites with a pinch of salt, obviously, but the depth that we seem to be going for or considering or rumouring around, whatever the word may be, is not Lee Gregory. And rightly or wrongly, I think that we seem to be now looking more for loans from the top flight, and I mean Parrott being the archetypal example of it. Then talk of us looking at a Liverpool defender, one from Manchester United potentially. Whether that's all pie in the sky, I don't know. Could well be, but it's interesting that these are the kinds of levels that we're looking at now, rather than the ex-electricians have made it from the non-league. And hats off to him for the career that he's built. But I just think, this sounds a bit poncy. I'm aware that I'm sounding a bit like a Brentford fan here, boys, aren't I? I'm sounding a little bit like we're at a level now where we can hold our heads up. But it's refreshing to be able to talk like this, because I do think our sights have been raised, and that's come since the arrival of Gary Rowett. How do you see it, Ryan? Do you see it the same? Or,
well, yeah, I think that point of depth is an interesting one, and it gets Millwall fans, I think, caught between a rock and a hard place, really, where I agree with you fully, Nick, about Rowett has kind of upped our sights and upped what we're looking for in terms of the sort. We like to see ourselves as the underdogs, but yeah, we're underdogs with a certain degree of confidence now, in terms of it's not our passion and the running and the hard work that will get us there. It's that tactical nous, you know, with that back five on the road. It's not the fact that Millwall are going to outwork that opposition when Rowett was getting those wins. It's the fact that we're set up, that we know that we can defend and we can nick a goal. That's not, you know, that's not about us giving it our all and working hard for it. That's, we are smarter than you and we have the players to execute a plan.
Yeah.
And that's where it changes. I think it's hard for Millwall because, especially in these times, as we mentioned at the beginning, money is tight everywhere. Millwall have still one of the smallest budgets in the league. And for a side that, for where we are aiming to be in the league this year, where we finished last year, we have to constantly bear in mind that we cannot afford to have the deepest squad. We cannot afford to stockpile players. Obviously, Lee Gregory left at the end of the day because he wanted more money than Millwall could pay him and thought he was worth paying to be one of four options. You know, you could say he's pretty much, you swap him with John Daddy Wodvarsson, gets you two goals a season, and he works when he gets on the pitch and runs around. They're probably the same sort of player. Obviously, there's more of an affiliation there with Gregory.
Yeah.
But for the time being, I think I'm interested and I'm excited by Rowett. Like you say, Nick, he's brought us up to that level. But if Millwall have to look internally to get that depth, you know, he's talked about Tyler Bury coming on, Junior Tiensa, obviously Billy Mitchell, you know, he's injured now, but when he comes back, I'm sure he'll gain a lot more trust. Hayden Muller, you know, 18-year-old, kind of coming out of nowhere, not even had the under-23s football or much of it, but he's in and around the squad. Obviously, we're going to talk about the goalkeeping situation later, but you've got two young keepers there who may have to play a part at some point. I think Harris, towards the end especially, got afraid of playing young players, which is, in Championship, it's really hard to do, to blood youngsters in the Championship. We all saw it under Holloway towards the end. When we went down to League One, we were able to do it. But it's really hard to do. So I think Rowett maybe is a bit more confident in himself than Harris was. Obviously, he's a more mature manager, had a bit more experience. So he feels like he can lean on, you know, some experienced players and risk the younger players. Not all the time, but I feel like this season we might see it a bit more. But I think that's where Millwall are going to have to get their depth. We're going to have to put a bit of faith in youth, because we can't afford to have two players on big wages on the bench
And I think that is the transition that we're going to see. And I think if that works for Millwall, it's really exciting. If you have two or three or four youth players this year who even play between them 20 games off the bench, you know, if they have five games each, and if one of them gets a goal, if Bury comes on for a game and gets a winning goal, Millwall fans will love that, whether or not they're in the stadium. And hopefully by the time we're in the stadium, those guys will be getting some minutes and exciting us. I think that's the best position that Millwall can put themselves in now, rather than stretching themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think the youth development side, it was Barney Rone, I think, described South London as like the Barcelona, the generating talent, you know, an area that generates talent. Like the
concrete Catalonia.
Does. That's it. And, we've obviously let some go. I saw Eddie, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Nketiah from Arsenal. From Lewisham. Obviously, there's Etse at QPR, who's another local boy that was playing for the Lions, and we've let him go for whatever reason. You know, everyone's got tales of talented boys that have been through or near us and haven't chosen us. And it'd be wonderful to start to see us actually tapping into some of the evident talent that lies all around our ground and our area. And you know, Ryan's name-checked a couple of players there that you'd love. I mean, nothing Mill fans love more than see one of their own come through. Look at Ben Thompson. Look at, you know, look at Billy Mitchell. That's the holy grail of Millwall. So it'd be wonderful if that does come to pass. We will see.
And on that, Nick, one thing that's interesting, I think, where obviously you have older players in the squad who, you know, can be mentors for these young players. You've got the likes of Williams maybe and Leonard, who are a bit more mature, who can show Billy Mitchell the ropes. Obviously, I think Ryan Woods is going to be a big influence on him. But especially over the last couple of seasons, and we saw it with Jacket a bit, to a different extent, using the loan market. I think last year having Malumbi in and this year having Parrott in, those Premier League youngsters who have that drive and they have obviously that quality above where they're looking to make their name because they want to go on to the biggest things, they are actually big inspirations for the youngsters in Millwall's academy. You know,
absolutely.
You talk about Eddie Nketiah and obviously I'd say it's a different situation, but the area that Millwall are in for youth players is so competitive. And with the enhanced player performance plan that's in place now, Premier League teams can just pick off basically up to 16, 17, anyone they want for nominal fees. So for Millwall, it's hard to retain those players who are phenomenal. Like Man City last year, I think, paid us 1.5 million in compensation for a 14-year-old winger. So we've got to get the players through to the first team squad is difficult to blood them in. But having those other youngsters, Troy Parrott, and obviously last year, Jason Malumbi, I imagine if you asked Billy Mitchell, he would have said he learned a load off of the likes of Williams and Leonard, but he would have learned so much from Jason Malumbi because he is at a similar stage in his career and he is showing him how to get into a team, how to train and how to carry yourself at a young age to take that next step. And I think the likes of those young players, and if Millwall can become not necessarily a hotbed to the extent that, say, Swansea are, but if we can become a club where Premier League teams know that they can send one or two players and they will get minutes and get a chance to play, our young players will they'll step up because, you know, people have that fear of developing other people's players. But our youngsters will go, hang on, why should you look out to loan? If you're going to look, get an 18-year-old in the team, play me. Don't go to the Premier League and loan someone. I want to be in that squad. So I think that attitude and that culture that it will drive of trusting in young players can be a real positive for Millwall going forward.
Agree. I mean, I think it's a big season for the likes of Ben Thompson. You know, Nick, I've got a bit of a loving with him. I think on his day, he is the best 10 in the Championship. He's a very, very creative footballer. I really want to see him do well. Only played, I think, 22 Championship games last season. He's got, you know, that's under half of the games out there. Had problems with injury. But, you know, if he can feed someone like Troy Parrott, you know, Millwall could be successful. Is there room for another winger? Because we looked at and we talked about Youri Skalac, and he's been sort of the butt of our jokes for a while. But he pulled out of the Palace game, didn't play against Crawley, I don't believe.
No, he didn't.
You know, it seems like Rowett's given him a chance. I wouldn't mind seeing Millwall take a chance of someone like Jordan Obita. You know, released by Reading, can play all the way up the left. Not quite a utility man, but someone who can offer a bit of depth and can maybe do something, can change something. Obviously, you know, Ryan's talked quite well about finance and stuff. Rowett's used three out of his five loan berths. Is there room for another loanee? Is there room for a free transfer? I really wonder if looking at someone like that is an option.
Possibly. I mean, as I said earlier on, you never know how much credence to give these Football League World and transfer kind of websites online. But, you know, we do seem to be looking at players. I mean, there's a Liverpool player, Nat Phillips. I believe he's a defender, I believe.
Yeah, centre back.
And a Man U player, Aaron James Garner, who I think...
Garner, yeah.
Rockford Files, as soon as I hear the word James Garner. Joke for the older listeners there. Midfielder. So, you know, it may well be that we're looking in that direction. I mean, on Saturday, we played Ryan Leonard as in a kind of a wider right position, and I thought we did okay. The goal, which I didn't get to see in real time, but I've seen the replays on social media from... There was a right-sided cross, which I presume was Leonard that put it into the box, and really, really well put home by Scott Malone. So, you know, we have coverage, I suppose, in most of the big parts of the side. But I guess if you can bring in the youngsters of that kind at that level, like with Parrott, you know, well, yeah, we'd be mad not to if we have the chance to bring in real talent like that. I'd say grab it with both hands if it's on offer, you know.
Yeah. Interestingly, I think the winger point is a good one, Aaron. I think it as well, you know, we've signed Mason Bennett, who was really promising, but you know, that injury question will hang over him. Like you say, Yuris Galak pulled out again, and you know, with you know, his injury problems hampered him last couple seasons really, but that's before you take into account his lack of form that he's shown, really. At one position, you know, I think with the wingers, you've got Conor Mahoney, who I think everyone is expecting more from this year. Difficult season last year.
Agree.
But I think if he can get some form, I think Rowett wants him to be his first choice. But that's why he's brought in Bennett to really push him and challenge him. That's where the other side that would worry me, not worry me, but about the depth side, is actually cover for Jed Wallace, where, you know, we've seen it so many times where
not even cover Ryan. Someone who can take the load off of him, because pre-Christmas, wow. After Christmas, he tailed further and further and further off, and he just looked knackered, absolutely knackered.
He is prone to burnout, and I think we've seen it, I think, every season, to be honest, with Jed Wallace. The one time we didn't really see it was during that kind of playoff push that we had in the first season back. And really, that was Ben Marshall coming on loan, who, like you say, took that burden off of him and kind of revived him and gave him a bit more freedom. I think that is maybe why we're seeing Tyler Bury come into it a bit more. You know, he plays the same position, right winger, similar style of player in terms of direct running, likes to get balls in the box. So maybe Rowett is banking on him to take a bit of the pressure off. But I know what you mean. And I think it does just come back to that question of squad depth, that can we necessarily afford to have another player? I think the problem Millwall had, especially this summer, is offloading the players we don't want was too hard to then replace them. I think there are a lot of players in the squad, I'd say three or four players, who if you gave me the option to just give them away for free, I would probably do it.
Name them.
So John Daddy Bodvarsson, I would give up happily. Not that I don't think he's a hard worker or anything, and maybe he has potential, but for me, we can do better.
I think
Yuri Skalak is obviously another one, and he's taken a big wage. For me, at this point as well, maybe Tom Bradshaw, I could look to replace him. Ryan Leonard is another one who has that versatility, and maybe that's where he'll show his worth, filling in a right wing back, playing a centre mid. You know, but I think in terms of upgrading the squad, but it's a buyer's market, and Millwall are looking to offload players, and you know, it's hard to offload players who aren't performing at the highest standard anyway. Yeah. So doing it in this market is next to impossible. So I think James Garner, who, you know, we might talk about later, who's been rumoured necessarily Millwall looking at, would be a good signing. I think we still need that creative attacking midfielder that hopefully Ben Thompson will be. But I also see Ben Thompson as getting the ball and running. I think we need someone who can play in the centre, play some passes and play players in, and like, you know, slide players in. I think that would be that's somewhere we're missing in the squad in terms of a profile of player.
Don't you think that Millwall are lacking that out and out finisher? And I know people are going to be sat there screaming Troy Parrott. What worries me is, knowing Spurs, they won't sign a striker. Troy Parrott will fire 8-10 goals in pre-Christmas. They'll recall him, and then you're back to square one.
Yeah, that is a concern. But I think hopefully the club haven't been that sort of short-sighted, Aaron, but obviously when you're loaning for a Premier League side, I think that is very much the, that's very, and also, you know, like you say, even if he's not necessarily banging in the goals, an injury to Harry Kane and they're left very short. Hopefully, you know, the transfer window is open to what, late October, beginning of October? Fifth of October. So beginning of October, you know, we've still got just under a month to go. I think there's movement to be made in transfer market, not necessarily from Millwall, but other clubs. So Spurs could still bring in a striker. I think it's an interesting market. I think Millwall have to keep their wits about them, I think, in terms of being a bit nimble in the transfer market and maybe having to bring in someone on a free or on a loan at short notice, who, and I'm sure Raul will have lists of players who they think they can go to, but that may have to come into play. I agree about the Troy Parrott point.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Achtung, Millwall.
Hi everyone, it's Shannon Drew from Millwall Lionesses. I would just like to say a huge, huge thank you to Acton Millwall Podcast and all of its listeners for all of your outstanding support so far and letting us come on your show to discuss how our skills are doing. Let's win that league for you.
The performance last Saturday looked a lot more balanced. Obviously, we've now got Malone on the left, Leonard doing his utility man covering on the right side. No Marlon, but Leonard did a good job, I felt, on the right side. And I thought, you know, even though we were leading with Matt Smith, and I know it was only Crawley, and I know that it's first round Carabao Cup and, you know, somewhere between a friendly and a competitive game. But, you know, Crawley approached it they were coming at us full on. I thought we looked very balanced. There was one brief period towards the end of the first half where we looked a little bit wobbly, but that was more defensive concerns than anything midfield or forward line based. But that was sorted out. As far as finishing is concerned, I think you make a good point there, Aaron. And you know, a lot of hope is being invested in Troy Parrott. But it was interesting that the old, dependable, good old Matt Smith was hand to get the goals. I think the service for Matt this season will be very different. And I think that, you know, we can make the most of him. Some will say he's a limited striker. I've seen him described in all sorts of ways online, unfairly. But I think that give him the service, he will get the goals.
What the thing is, Nick, it's funny you say that. The signing of Scott Malone, I think, does two things. Scott Malone can find the ball. He can pick out a player in the box. He's a good attacking fullback. But it offers Shane Ferguson a different thing. He doesn't have to focus and worry about defending all the time. Obviously, Murray Wallace is still available. But, you know, Shane Ferguson doesn't have to sit there and go, yeah, I have to trap back, because he knows Scott Malone's behind him if Rabbit opts to use that system. And you know, Shane Ferguson's an effective player. He's a workhorse. He's another one of them players who will do the job.
I have to say, I'm such a big fan of Scott Malone. I think he is an unbelievable signing. He's obviously just on loan, and you know, his contract will be up. If he has a good season, we get him for free at the end of the year. That's phenomenal. I think the key word there really is what you said, Nick, about balance. I think last year, our squad, not our squad, but how we played obviously was quite unbalanced in terms of having to go down Romeo and Jed most of the time for that attacking thrust. Obviously, Murray Wallace got forward when he could, but, you know, as hard working as he is and as, you know, he can muscle past a man, he's just not got that quality. And I think, you know, you saw Scott Malone's goal, making that late run into the box. He loves doing that. And I think him and Romeo as a tandem on each side of the pitch now makes Millwall, like say, that much more balanced with threat from both sides. And I think fans will see a big impact from having him in the squad. And, you know, Murray Wallace can now move into the centre. Gary Rowett was saying that if Pearce got injured last season, we were screwed in terms of trying to play back five. Murray Wallace now can play in the back three as a centre-back, as he should be, which he is, you know, his most comfortable position. We know he can still drop out if he needs to and go into left-back if there's injuries or suspensions or whatever. But for me, Scott Malone is such a shrewd piece of business, and I really think, you know, he's got that Premier League experience now. He's a top-end championship fullback and the sort of player that last season we were crying out for on so many occasions.
I'll tell you what, you know, a couple of players I've sort of like looked at and thought that would be good for Millwall, if they're looking in midfield, is Andy King, experienced campaigner, knows what he's doing, a regular sort of 7 out of 10 player who will give you his best. Another one is Omar Bogle, who's available on a free off card at City. I can't see him dropping down out of the Championship. Another one is Jackson Irvine. No sign of him getting a club from what I see. And I think the fourth I was looking at, who we talked about yesterday, Mendes Lang, released by Cardiff. Obviously, we don't know what's going on. And we
what a strange story, Aaron. Comment
on things. But Nick, I think it was it you who picked it up? Was it Harry who picked it up in our,
I saw it
in our chat? It's
the club statement, the Cardiff City club statement, is a one-line statement that Mendes Lang, can't think of his first name.
Nathaniel
Mendes Lang has been released by Cardiff City. That's it, you know. And then there's endless amounts of speculation that we won't go into on here online as to what the cause of that may be. But it's a very, very strange story so close to the start of the season. So clearly there's something cooking there. Yeah. Who knows what that may be. But I mean, I'm just thinking aloud to your point, Ryan, about more, Aaron, about more creativity on the right side. I mean, I think that would give Jed some, you know, take the burden from him, but also give him a bit of competition as well, which is, you always need competition in the side. Yeah. And I think we're seeing that a lot more around the squad. Perhaps only Jed is the only main element where you probably can't think of any direct competition for him. So that would be an area where everyone needs a kick up the bum, don't they? And, you know, I thought he looked quite perky. He came on for the second half last Saturday. I thought he looked quite sharp, as did Ben Thompson, incidentally. I know they're both, you know, be rested, but they both look quite nippy.
I really think that we'll see more action in the transfer market from next week, because players don't want to be sitting around. You know, it's a big mental health thing where players see football going on. It's like me on a Saturday. You know, I can't remember the last time I was available on a Saturday to work, but I didn't get a game. You know, the day I am, I feel shit. You actually feel really shit. You want to be out playing or watching or commentating or doing what you're doing, because you are so sort of invested in this game that you have to be involved. And I think that players will sit there on a Saturday afternoon going, well, I'm asking for 15, if I ask for 10 or if I ask for 8 or whatever, you know, maybe it'll work. Let's drop our demands and let's go from there. I'm really convinced by that.
Yeah, I think especially as the window gets close to closing and especially as that free signing kind of window drops off as well, players, and the longer they go without a club, players' wage demands will drop and drop and drop, which at the moment, you know, they still know they might be top priority or whatever. But I think, like you say, the longer they're out of it, the more they want it back. And I think, you know, Jackson Irvine, when you picked up there, Aaron, I think he'd be such a shrewd piece of business to pick up. Obviously, you know, captain, vice-captain of Hull before the owners kind of fell out with him and everyone else in the city of Hull and released him without a word. But I think he would be a really good signing, you know, Australian international, play attacking midfield, hard worker, but really versatile. But I think more action is to come by people taking a punt, because, you know, in the first couple of weeks, people will know, clubs will know their finance situation. They will know, have a clearer idea maybe of when fans are coming back. and they might know they're able to stretch or, you know, find a bit of money here or there and bring in one or two extra. So although Raul is saying he's not looking, I wouldn't be surprised if right before that deadline, Mill will pick someone up on a free or on a loan or something.
It's interesting as well. Another player I want to sort of just cap off this whole little transfer bit about is Marcus Maddison. You know, a real nomadic player. Spent a couple of years at Peterborough, lit it up, but just, you know, is someone who's so argumentative and so just a bit feisty, if you like. He's off to Derby, it seems. He is off to Derby.
Oh, dear.
I think he'll do quite well there. A club that never really shies out of the limelight. But, you know, I thought he could have been one of those players that the Den could grow to sort of love, you know, because he is a bit of a dickhead, if you like.
I wonder. I mean, we're talking about Mendes Lang earlier on. I mean, I don't know that much about the boy, other than the fact he's got sacked with no pre-notice, which in the world that I came from is never a good thing. That normally means you've done something so dramatic that sacking is all the only answer. But I don't know. I mean, Neil Harris used to put great store by this phrase, a Millwall type of player. You know, the kind of the character of the player being as important, if not more important in some ways, than the talent. I think we've turned that around a little bit, but I still think there's a strong desire. And I include the likes of Mason Bennett, who had his troubles at Derby. But I still think Gary Rowett sets a good measure of store by the character of the player. I don't think we're just going to take any difficult person just because they know what to do with football. I think there is still a sense that they've got to be someone you can, take to your mum's for Sunday lunch or something. You know, there's got to be a little bit of that still. So, I mean, I don't know the guy that you're talking about, particularly Aaron, but I think if they're have a difficult rep, I'm not sure we're going to be quite as keen as some might think we would be.
I think towards the end, maybe Harris got a bit lost in his own mythology about that Millwall sort of player. Because, you know, with every signing, I don't know whether or not they were prompted to by the media team or not, but every signing always used to, wax lyrical about this presentation and this conversation they had with him. And they said, you know, he completely won me over. He completely, the vision that I got of the club off him. And, you know, maybe he is the best salesman pitching Millwall to people. And obviously that personality and that attitude is important. But 90% of managers are looking for good attitude and, you know, the right personality to fit. And I think there's something to say about Millwall's squad. Like we mentioned, the small nature of the squad. But there is, I think, more so than other places, a really strong connection, a strong togetherness. I think Mason Bennett mentioned it when he was signing. Scott Malone mentioned that Bennett had told him about it and Pierce had told him about it. Malumbi's obviously mentioned it to Parrott. And that is kind of that self-perpetuating attitude. And Rowett hasn't, you know, he's brought in players who aren't necessarily Millwall players. Like you say, Bennett with a bit of a checkered pass. Woods, who is not the sort of player we would go for normally. He's brought these players in, but they're the right fits of the squad. And I think as long as you're, and even with, you know, say the likes of Scalak, who might be a high earner, who's not really doing anything, but he's not disrupting the squad. So I think Rowett does have a handle on that. And obviously you don't want to bring in someone who in the last four clubs has refused to play because they've not got a pay rise or something like that. But most clubs aren't going to go for someone like that. But I think Millwall have that nice balance at the moment of the Millwall sort of player, I think, is shifting what that means. You know, we want better players maybe then, because for me, the Millwall sort of player might be a top-end League One player. And, you know, we need to go above that. We need to bring in a better quality of player who still respects what playing for Millwall is, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, agree. I mean, we've never been afraid of talent too. I mean, I think sometimes the idea of the Millwall sort of player was slightly elevated beyond beyond the other side of it, and talent is obviously in the end. That's what gets you higher up the table. But, you know, if you look back over Mill history, yes, it's a hard bitten working class club from Bermondsey, but we've never been afraid of talented players. Far from it. So, I think that there's a mythology is a good word. Actually, I like that word. I'm gonna steal that phrase, Ryan. You'll see it rewritten somewhere at some stage.
I'm gonna lift
that.
The Achtung Millwall Yearbook is now available via the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store. Visit the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store and buy your copy of the Achtung Millwall Yearbook. Just £13, including postage and packing within the UK. It's 128 pages worth of Millwall news, views and opinion. It's a great Christmas present. Visit the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store. All profits will benefit Demelza, Evelina and the Millwall Community Trust Foods Delivery Service.
There you go. Let's look back at the game against... Oh, for fuck's sake. Can you hear the ice cream van? Can you hear him? No?
He knows.
What the hell is he doing?
What is he doing in September? He's
I'll have a 99.
10-8 I'll tell you what. Where
my old man lives, deep in a little village called Hollyport, they the ice cream van plays Bubbles, West Ham Bubbles, and I refuse to buy ice cream off him. I'm just like, nah, mate. And you know what? Harry's going to be listening to this. I can tell Harry's nodding in agreement now, going, yep, fucking right, Aaron, fucking right. I know he's happy. Well, there you go, Harry. I don't buy ice cream off him. This geezer just changed his chime as well. It used to be just one cornetto.
Match of the day seems to be a favourite one as well, doesn't it? For the ice cream.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, I presume in South Bermondsey it's all Roy Green, isn't it? Or Tahiti Millwall, maybe.
I don't know. We need to find out from those that live around the den. What does the ice cream vans play around South East 16?
What are they doing in September? That's the question. Let's look back, though, at the win at the People's Pension Stadium, home of Crawley Town. It finished Crawley 1, Millwall 3 in the League Cup. Scott Malone, Matt Smith and an own goal pushed Millwall through to the second round. It was a 3-1 win at Crawley on Saturday. Malone scored in the 14th minute on his second debut for the Lions that he volleyed home nicely from a Ryan Woods cross. 33 minutes in, it was 2-0 as Jake Cooper headed Connor Mahoney's corner back across goal, and it was an own goal by Jordan Tunnicliffe, not Ryan, Harry. Don't worry, not Ryan. He diverted the ball over the line. Crawley got one back, but Millwall finished the job off on 59 minutes with Matt Smith swooping to head home Jed Wallace's cross. Satisfied, gents?
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously the main talking point initially was the failure of the video streaming service, which gave me, in return of my tenner, which I've now been refunded, incidentally, listeners. You should be too if you paid £10 for that shambles. But I mean, I actually got to see some action from about 20 something minutes onwards. So we were 1-0 up. I didn't see the Scott Malone goal until afterwards on social media, but that was a really well executed goal. And that gave me a lot of hope for the season. I did get to see the Jake Cooper. I think it was a Jake Cooper goal, but accredited officially as an own goal for Tunnicliffe. That was just a standard kind of corner in and the kind of classic Jake Cooper up high and headed it down powerfully and it went in the net. I think it was Jake's goal personally. I know he claimed it, didn't he? It was a routine workout performance in my opinion, but there was a brief wobble at the end of the first half where Crawley suddenly discovered some energy and they started to go a little bit direct down our middle, straight down the centre. And we looked a little bit bewildered by that. And the goal, actually, if memory serves, I haven't seen it since, was basically a lump down the middle with Murray Wallace getting into sixes and sevens and then the Crawley player put through on goal. That was the only bit that really bothered me. I mean, apart from that, I felt it was a fairly routine workout. We probably should have scored 3 or 4, 5 goals possibly, but 3-1's a fair reflection of the game. How did you see it, Ryan? Did you say the same?
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's hard to read a lot into this. I know the Carabao Cup anyway, but especially this one being before the season. I think they trialled it to be before the season a few years ago as well. I think Crawley beat us then. But, it's a pre-season friendly at the end of the day. You look through the results, Cardiff losing to Northampton 3-0, Swansea losing to Newport 2-0, yeah. Norwich losing to Luton, Huddersfield lost, like so many championship teams. Wigan are League One now, but
real pre-season style results.
Nottingham Forest lost. So even a lot of the top teams tipped to be at the top, a lot of teams there, losing these games with weakened sides. And, Millwall got the job done, which is, that's a positive. You'd rather win a game than lose a game. I think the things that stood out for me are things we've touched on. Murray Wallace playing at centre-back. Is only a positive for me. I think he's an impressive player when he plays in his position. You know, I think people disagree with me, but I wasn't the biggest fan of him as a wing back, like him as a player, but not as a wing back. Scott Malone getting the goal, as I mentioned before, a really great run. The ball from Ryan Woods is absolutely phenomenal.
Woods, I thought right I said on, Ryan Leonard, didn't I?
Right onto his toe, genuinely, with that streak of ginger hair. You know, that could be Kevin De Bruyne whipping in that cross. But yeah, like you say, a regulation win, one that you'd rather win than lose. You know, ease past Cheltenham in the next round, and okay, you've got a Premier League side, Burnley or Sheffield United, you know, the two least fashionable sides probably in the Premier League, playing one of the least fashionable sides in the Championship. I'm sure it'll be live on Sky. But yeah, you know, regulation win that you'd rather, like I say, you'd rather win than lose. And I think one thing, Matt Smith getting a goal, we talked a lot about Troy Parrott and Millwall's striking options. I think we can't write off Matt Smith yet. He may, you know, have those creaking limbs and be less mobile than sinking Titanic, but he will play a part this season. He will get a handful of goals. He will get important goals off the bench, even starting games occasionally, I imagine. He's not done. And I think it'll be a mistake to maybe write him off this early in the season. He's just getting that comfortable header, reminding people that he's still there.
Very interesting article about Matt Smith in my newly subscribed edition of The Athletic, listeners. You might have seen on Twitter that I've subbed the Athletic. I want to sound like all these highly professional journalist types that I work with on this podcast. So I'm going to join the sub for the Athletic. And there's a nice article about Matt Smith. Did you know he's got an MBA in business studies?
Yeah, I didn't.
Did
know
you
that.
Do that? I didn't know.
Did you know his name is Mathieu?
Mathieu Smith,
born
that's
in right. France.
Yeah, it's Mathieu yeah. Smith. Yeah,
I think he got his first transfer to a club while playing at university. I think he had no real intentions of becoming a football player. Was playing for his uni team, and I think playing for a non-league team on the weekends as well. And you know, when you're 6'4", it's quite or 6'7", is he? It's quite easy to stand out, especially when you're running around against a lot of 18 and 19-year-olds. But you know, he's a smart guy, and he's come a long way. Say come a long way, but he's worked up again. That Millwall sort of story of someone who's worked up from non-league through the leagues. Obviously, he grabbed everyone's attention when he absolutely just hammered Liverpool in the air playing for Oldham in the NFA Cup a few years ago. And you know, he's a smart guy with an interesting background. And, you know, like I say, plenty to come from him still, at least this year.
Very intelligent bloke, MBA, sees himself going into business, sports business, I would guess, finance and that kind of side of it after the game is up. So, very interesting article. So I thought I took a vow that I would mention my subscription to The Athletic on every show, boys.
And good work, Nick.
I've worked it in.
Nice one. Jets, yeah, so Millwall taking on Cheltenham Town in the second round of the League Cup. Let's be fair, no one had wanted to go to that. Nick, it would have been one of them nights.
It would have been a dead zone, wouldn't it? Yeah, one for I follow seats. Again, I think.
More than
interesting.
Likely.
The Carabao Cup now has the dangle of a place in the Euro Conference League. I think that's the reward if you win it this season. I don't think you go into the
Euro Conference League.
Yeah, it's a new competition.
Third tournament,
not the Europa League. That's going to be slimmed down, right? Because it's a bit bloated, isn't it? The Europa League at the moment. And the place for the winner of the League Cup, the EFL Cup, Carabao, it will be a place in this new European UEFA Conference League, which is a kind of like a third competition. It kind of harks back to the olden days of the Cup Winners' Cup in a way, but that's a long time ago since that passed into, you know, rode off into the sunset. In fact, Manchester United were the last winners of it, 1992.
91, Rotterdam. Rotterdam, we beat Barcelona. Yeah, my dad was there. My dad was there. Yeah.
This is why people tune into our show, for these nuggets of information.
Exactly. But yeah, you won't be missing much. Millwall taking on Cheltenham Town. I've decided to bypass that one. I'm going to watch the O's on Tuesday night instead. Leighton Orient on Tuesday. Looking forward to that. Looking on, and yeah, of course, Nick, you wanted to pick up on James Garner very quickly. United midfielder had a couple of stints in the Europa League last season, but rumours flying that Millwall are interested.
according to the Football League World, I don't know how reliable a website that is, or whether it's, you know, some spotty teenager sat in his back room between games of Fortnite, turning out made up rumours on the net. I don't know. But
how do you know about Fortnite?
Oh, mate, you should. I keep up with the. I hang with the kids. You know, I've got a nephew aged 12.
And he's keeps got an me Athletic subscription.
I subscribe to the Athletic, fair. Listeners.
Fair.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I hadn't heard of James Garner other than Jim Rockford, but, you know, I like this kind of talk. I like the fact that the rumours are being elevated about us, even if they're total fabrications. I like the fact that we're going for a better class of rumour now, listeners, whereas once it would have been, you know, someone from, I don't know, you know, AFC Wimbledon, a Tom Elliott rumour. Now we're going to go for a James Garner rumour, and nice. They're coming from Manchester United, not Macclesfield, you know, that's that kind of room we want.
Exactly. I think, you know, we're not loaning other Championship teams. Obviously, we've got Scott Malone, but that's a difference. We're not loaning other youngsters from teams in the same division. We're going, or even bottom rung Premier League sides. You know, Troy Parrott is arguably one of the most promising young strikers, you know, alongside probably Rian Brewster. And he's come to Millwall. That's such a big thing. So, yeah, to be linked with a Man United youngster who has appeared in the first team, he's not one of their hundreds of obscure young players. Like, he's a good player. I think from that article I've been reading, Blackburn and Huddersfield are also interested in him, but, you know, whether or not he'll go, I think Man United are waiting to make a decision in a week or so. So, you know, like I said, I think we will need a creative midfielder. It's not a position we're going to play in every game, and especially with Thompson, I imagine he'll be playing there when we do. So to bring in a youngster who wants a bit of experience, wants a bit of game time, surely can only be a good thing.
Indeed. Very quickly, Frank Fielding, a bit of a keeper crisis, it seems, is emerging. Yeah. But I've seen pictures of Fielding training again.
Yeah, I wondered whether he still existed or if he disappeared into some kind of, you know, singularity of some sort. But he's still around. I don't know. I mean, The story on the news at then speaks of a goalkeeping crisis. Ryan Sandford apparently is injured, so we may be using 18-year-old Joe Wright as a backup against Stoke, as Frank Fielding nears a return to the fold, according to news at then. You know, great if so. I would think Fielding as a backup goalkeeper to Bart would be that's probably the ideal choice. I'm not sure I'd want to rely on Frank Fielding, but, you know, as the man on the bench, that's probably not bad outcome. But I'm just amazed and pleased that he's still around, because we feared the worst that, you know, in that long period of silence about his well-being over the past year.
Oh, Ryan, our fantasy league is up. We are, you know what, just before everyone league. Sort of, just before everyone kicks off and goes, well, Millwall aren't in the Premier League, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? We've been strongly just going, oh, we wish there was an EFL Fantasy League. We really, really do. But there actually isn't. There is no Millwall Fantasy League, or there's no EFL Fantasy League. So we have subscribed and we've got ourselves an Acton Fantasy League going. Ryan, do you have the details? Are the details available yet?
I do. For anyone who is, you know, up and running, I think Nick, you know, he's a big fantasy player. He's got the Athletic subscription on one screen, checking the fantasy team, you know, later on, you
looking
know.
At his XG. He's a big XG man.
Game of Fortnite on the go.
He's on Fortnite. He's getting the fantasy up. So I think Nick was really pushing for us to go for this. We've got it. Our league code, listeners, if you want to grab your pens, we'll be putting it out on Twitter too. But our league code is 02WZZG. So we'll be putting that up on Twitter, and I'm sure we'll get it out. And hopefully, you know, by that Saturday deadline, everyone will be running. I think, Aaron, I think I've seen a couple Championship fantasy leagues knocking about, but they're always a bit B grade. And you know, one of the reasons we love the Championship is that it is ridiculously unpredictable, which honestly makes fantasy football in the Championship, I think, an impossible task. At least with the Premier League, you know, you can stick Jamie Vardy and Aubameyang in it and you're going to knock up a few points, you know?
Just want to give a shout out, Aaron, if I may, to an email we received from Stuart Bullen in Los Angeles in the USA, saying great work for the podcast. But he wanted to comment on our show, last week's show, about the season's transfer activity. And Stuart's opinion is that the transfer activity of the summer has been very Millwall, and I don't think that means that in a positive way. Yes, we've got Troy, we've got the double signing of Malone and Mason Bennett. Who knows how many games he'll actually be fit for, he says. But for me, that's still a little bit disappointing, considering we were reportedly bidding £2 million for Moore and then in the mix for Lowe. So Stuart thinks that we could and should be doing better on the transfer front. As an injury or two, we could be struggling, which I think was a point that you made earlier on, mate. So thank you for Stuart for emailing us. We do like to get emails from all around the world, including the UK, mm-hmm. but that's a great one from the USA. And I loved the fact that he would have replied on Twitter, but he's been permanently banned for calling a Reading fan a gimp and a C-U-N-T. And they slung him off of it. These are the details we live for, listeners. Thank you.
This is the kind of minutia we enjoy. We really actually do enjoy it. So make sure you get on it, because
but get on that fantasy league. Bloody hell, yeah, I'm all over that, boys.
Yeah, Nick, you're all over that. What's your team name going to be? Do you know?
I don't know. I tend to forget that I'm on it, and I have a team rather than suspended and injured. So I'm predicting a lower league finish for me in the fantasy league, but we'll see. I'll have to come up with a name. I'll get weaving on that. I imagine there's rules on not having obscene names, but anyone, if you do join our Achtung Fantasy League, God help you if you do, we'll probably give a prize to the most imaginative and brutal Holloway related name. I think that's within the rules pertaining to the Fantasy League owner, you know.
Chamack my bitch up.
Jesus
to the prodigy. I mean, some of these leagues I'm in, Mein Burkamp. Is anyone's
Burkamp? Bloody hell.
If anyone's fans in that one, I'd rather walk alone is a regular one. The Unbearables. Pulisic as a dog.
If we're talking about disappointments and disappointing things, we should probably talk about the Achtung Acca.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we?
It's on its ass.
Gentlemen.
After week one.
Let's roll the jingle. After that jingle, which I went to some trouble to make that jingle, listeners. You know, my musical creativity came out. We each chose a winning team from the Caribou Cup first round, and unfortunately, none of them won. We all got slaughtered. Everyone got beaten. Every single result, as called by my group of compadres here, was wrong, including myself. So I can't get sorry too guys. Much. So
we let you down.
We all let ourselves down, a bit like Mason. What's his name? Not Mason Greenwood.
Yeah, Mason Greenwood,
they
yeah.
let themselves this down is, in
this
Iceland.
Is the first round of the Carabao Cup. No one knows what's happening. It's just setting our sights. You know, you'd rather get them all wrong than miss it by one. So I think
no one realised it was on, Ryan. No one realised. Oh, Carabao is it? Carabao Cup is it? Exactly. Oh, fair enough. Yeah,
exactly. So I think you know you can forgive us for that. You know, I think we've learned in the last few years. People have had enough of experts, so it's time for us amateurs to have a go.
So the Achtung Acca came to a grinding. Walked into a wall last week, but we're going to do it again, listeners. We are up for another Achtung Acca. Saturday's fixtures. Harry's gone for a Norwich win. I can't remember who they're playing.
Norwich, I've got Huddersfield away.
Harry's going for an away win. Norwich City. Ryan, you've gone for Wickham Wanderers.
Yeah, I'm backing them. I think they're home to Rotherham. I think they were decent in their Carabao Cup game, and you know, their first home game in the Championship. I think they'll win this one, then lose all the rest.
Aaron is to be announced. We don't know your choice yet, Aaron.
I am going for Bristol City to beat Coventry City.
Mike Hayden's already got that one, mate. I'm afraid.
All right, fine. Anyone gone for Millwall to beat Stoke?
No, strangely. Weirdly.
I'll go for Millwall to beat Stoke. Yeah, why not?
Okay, Aaron's gone for the Lions.
Stoke is shit.
Michael Avery's gone for Nottingham Forest. Who are they playing, boys? Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest are away at Queen's Park Rangers.
Who are you back to beat them?
Mike Hayden already said he's gone for Bristol City, which I think is a home win.
Home to Coventry.
And finally, purely on the principle that I've never, ever, every time I've ever backed Mill to do anything, they always do the opposite to what you think they're going to do. If you back them to win, they'll lose. If you back them to lose, they'll win. So I've learned over a bitter long life never to get involved in betting with Millwall. I've gone for Bournemouth, and I think they are at home. Bournemouth, AFC Bournemouth.
Yeah, they're at home to Blackburn Rovers. I'll tell you an interesting one about them two. Bournemouth and Blackburn have both let go of 9 players, and between them have signed 1.
Lovely.
Well, that may be the weak link, but if it's a fiver, it's going to be a fiver accumulator, dear listeners. So 6-way acca. The winnings will go to charity. Last week's winnings was £0, so charities benefited by precisely nothing last week. We'll see how the Achtung acca goes this week. It's let's hope for better.
Yeah, indeed. Don't forget the Premier League, Fantasy Premier League League. We'd like to see you in there. We'd like to take the piss a bit every week as well. I think we were a bit late last season in terms of sorting one out. But I think, is it Harry who set one up?
Harry is mad keen for this.
He is known as Bielsa Bucket Man. Michael Hayden is Row at Your Boat FC. Ryan Loftus, XG Unit, and I am the Big Bear Brownie Company. That's me. For all your chocolate brownies, give me a shout. elsewhere, gents. Sorry, guys. Any other business?
I need to mention the Millwall, Achtung Mill Yearbook, which is available right now on the MillwallSupportersClub.co.uk website. MillwallSupportersClub.co.uk. That's all one word. It's £12, 13 with postage and packing. It will benefit.
How much are the signed editions, Nick?
Well, I can do signed editions if people want that. You name your price. You know, I'm
a personal message and like a little photo. You know, black
pen
and white
for
photo.
Hire. Pen for hire. Benefits Demelza, Evelina, and the Millwall Community Trust. Food delivery. So good causes, 128 pages packed with the best quality writing you can imagine, listeners. Get on it.
Get your Christmas gift early. MillwallSupportersClub.co.uk,
£13 including the PMP. That's my news.
Get your Christmas gifts in early. This is perfect for your dad, your mum, your nan, your granddad. It's better than the shit you could buy in the club shop. Sorry, Millwall. it's a good gift.
They have got the away kit in the club shop. Well, maybe not just yet. I think in a couple months they'll have it in the club shop. So, you know, it's a close second.
Fair play. Don't worry, I've been battling other club shops at the moment because Wimbledon's new home kit is completely sold out. They've literally got no sizes left. I think they've only got smalls left. And anyone who's met me will know I'm not a small, you know. So, don't worry. It's the club shop issues going on at the moment. But get your hands on the Millwall yearbook. It's a great Christmas present. I know we're only a couple of months away, but you can pug it away. Keep it in the boot in its envelope. And if you want Nick Hart to sign it, he will sign it. Pictures are extra. Proper Polaroids are extra. You'll get a nice little photo shot of him, you know, in the kitchen or doing something or pointing. Or, you know, poses are extra. You can get the standard pose at a standard price, or you can get a pose done, like, you know, just like, you know, different. You choose what he's up to, you know, whatever you fancy. Nick, are you offering the more sort of, I'm not going to say erotic, but sort of softcore kind of angles, you know?
Insta nudes. So only fans.
He is a young man at heart.
You know what? We have bastardized the 59-year-old man. We have completely bastardized him. We've done it.
There we are.
Finger off the pulse.
if you're doing any of that, you know, we'll have them as well. Let's have your predictions, chat. Just a 3 p.m. kickoff at an empty den. Back to South London for the Lions. Millwall taking on Stoke City. Nick Hart, let's have your predos.
I'm going to back us to win. I think we're going to come good. We look good in Crawley, and I think we'll continue on. I'm going to go for Millwall 2, Stoke City 1. A Millwall win, basically.
I am going to go for a carbon copy of Gary Rowett's first game in charge, 2-0 to Millwall.
I'm going Millwall 3, Stoke City 0. Stoke are quite poor. I think I've watched them already. They don't look great. Not at all. Ladies and gents, thanks for joining us once again. Don't forget your Lionesses podcast. Don't forget our Premier League, our Fantasy Premier League league. I'm trying to find the code now. Ryan, do you have the code, Dan, before I look like a complete plum? No, I've got the code here. It's 02WZZG. 02... What's W for? What's W phonetics in W? Whiskey. I always think of like a swear word. Whiskey, Zampa, Gary Rowett.
Harry will stick a link on the Twitter, I'm sure.
I hope you will.
None of that
well,
means a single you... thing to me, listeners, all that we say.
Nick, anyway. I'm sure you're excited as well, pal. You know, we'll have to talk you through
over
it.
Over the moon, mate. Over the moon, yeah.
No, shitting rainbows is exactly how I describe it right now. Until next week, though, thanks for joining us. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. However, it's Achtung Millwall. Till next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.